Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome in to another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. I'm, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the snowy to my Tintin. He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but you realize people see right through this, right? I mean, you know, people see through this. I mean, I'm the first round draft pick, and you're the guy who signed a contract in, under the previous CBA. So you're around because you helped the team stay under the salary cap ceiling.
You are the first round bust, and I am the high value player.
No. You're the spare parts defenseman who's always trying to get in the lineup, you're always walking by the coach's door. Coach, I'm ready to go.
Oh, what were we going to talk about today?
You're not going to tell me who the two people are?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. Tintin is this... How do I even explain Tintin? It's this Belgian comic about this red-haired kid who solves mysteries. And Snowy is his little white dog that travels around with him everywhere.
I know this is a podcast, so people can't see my facial expression, but you ought to see my facial expression right now.
feel free to tweet Tarik images of Tintin. Anyway, what we will talk about today, we're going to talk about why the team continually takes its foot off the gas. I know that's been a hot topic of late. We will talk about more about Washington's offensive philosophy, and we're going to have a long talk about Braden Holtby. What we won't talk about is the Olympics. It's one, the NHL players should be there, and they are not. Two, the U.S. lost in overtime to Slovenia. And three, the U.S. women's team lost to Canada. So we're going to skip right over that.
I heard that Ovechkin went out to the visitor's bench or the home team's bench at the Xcel Energy Center this morning. And Bruce Boudreaux greeted him and said, "I thought you went to the Olympics." Yeah. I thought that was the most Bruce thing ever.
It's a good line by Bruce. Yeah. Since we got tons to talk about today, we are also going to skip vamping about the fake holiday of Valentine's Day. And I will sum it all up by saying that those candy hearts are garbage and taste like chalk. Moving on. Tarik, the last few games, it seems as if the Caps cannot put together a full 60-minute effort. We saw a horrendous second period against Detroit and a rough finish in Winnipeg. What is holding this team back, and how can they how do you solve a problem like that midseason?
I thought we were going short on our answers, so we could get a lot of stuff in. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and whenever the team that I'm covering, whether it's the Redskins, the Capitals, whatever, I always like to look at things big picture, especially when a team starts to struggle, and we've seen now for the better part of a dozen games that there's been a problem maintaining kind of focus for a full 60 minutes. That's certainly been an issue. And it's something they got to clean up heading down the stretch because, as you know, the league gets tougher and tougher as you go with these 20-game intervals heading into the postseason as teams start to ramp up for the postseason. And we've seen in the past that it's not as easy as flipping a switch, kind of cruising and coasting into the postseason and then deciding, okay, Alex, okay, Nick, you guys ready? All right, let's go. Let's go do this. It's pretty hard to kind of get ramped up, at the drop of a hat. And so that's why it's concerning to me. that they have been unable to, and it's been longer than just these last two games. I want to say that over the past dozen games, when they have had solid performances, it's been not the norm.
Right.
You know, I think that it's been a kind of a soft spot in the schedule for them right now, and there are a lot of things that need to become more consistent. I think scoring wise, I don't have a problem with the scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with the way they handle. Their defensive zone coverage has not been great. I feel like there are some D-men who have played better at different points in the season. I think Braden Holtby's been fine. I haven't had a problem with the goaltending. The specialty teams have been kind of uneven to a certain extent. But like I said, you know, they've now got 20-some-odd games to get themselves together, and that's what they've got to do.
Right. The biggest problem for me of late has been how this team plays with the league. They disappear. There's no offensive zone. There's no offensive pressure. There are no shots. They're not keeping their foot on the gas. They are turtling. They are going back in their zone and playing essentially prevent defense. And that, I mean, Trotz isn't telling them to do that. That's just a mentality of, oh, we got the lead. No, we got to hold on. That's what happened in Winnipeg. That's not what happened in Detroit. They were tied in the second period, but the offense just disappeared that period.
Well,
they're on their heels.
If I can interject here,
sure.
You know, sometimes when it looks like a team is sitting back, it's because the other team has also turned the wick
yes,
up a little bit.
That's true.
So,
very
you
true.
Know, there's another group of 20 players on the other team that gets paid to win games too.
Absolutely.
And sometimes when you go, oh, why are they taking their foot off the gas? No, it's just the other team is starting to accelerate now, and it's looking like the Caps have let up, but the other team has just doubled down.
And absolutely, happened. You can say that about Winnipeg, but a team like Detroit, who's not a good team, they should not be able to turn on the Jets against the Caps the way they did and dominate the way they did in that second period.
The second period against the Red Wings was more the Capitals bad.
Yes.
I mean, that was them almost collectively up and down the lineup deciding that they were going to play without a whole lot of
right.
bite or passion to their game.
Now, I will say this. They have to play better. I'm not being a homer. I'm not trying to just dismiss this. They have to play better. They cannot play like this and finish where they want to in the division. I mean, they haven't sealed a playoff spot, so they have to play better. But don't we see this from a lot of teams in February?
Yes.
It's hard to go 100% for 82 games. And how many times have we said, don't peak in February. Stop peaking in February. Peak in April. Peak in May and June. And now they're having some tough times in February. But we see this from a lot of teams.
You do. You know, again, the reason I would be concerned is if they weren't leading the division, they would be in fourth place in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And only, well, I'm counting up here, only 8 points out of, you
right.
know, 8 points into the playoffs. So
right.
There's not a whole lot of wiggle room there. It's not like past years
mm-hmm.
where, you know, they were up double digits at this point, and you could say, well, you know, we always say don't peak early, you know, let them do their thing and let, you know, let this play out. I think that every game is going to matter.
Yes.
Down this stretch for them, which is something different. In the last 2 years, that was not the case. You know, the players and the coaching staff are going to have to be, are going to have to approach this last group of games differently than they have the previous 2 years.
We've talked a lot about the problems that the Capitals have had on defense. But up next, we're going to take a look at the offense and Braden Holtby right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. The Caps came into the season with a new offensive philosophy, and they have consciously tried to be more selective with the shots that they are taking.
Sure.
So far, they sit dead last in the NHL in shots on goal per game, but ninth in goals per game. Still, there seems to be some growing pains as players express frustration, especially after the loss to Detroit.
Sometimes you definitely got to throw it there. There's bodies and stuff. You know, you look up at the clock and we have 10 shots after two periods, and goalies are too good in this league to only have that many. I think we had 2 shots in the second. So, we got to find ways to, you know, get pucks to the net, start bringing pucks to the net, get the puck out to our point man. Maybe the D can fire a few more on there if the forwards are in front. If they're not, you gotta wait, because goalies are too good now, and then they'll just see the puck and cover.
Like maybe sometimes we're looking for the perfect play instead of maybe just throwing it at the net, and I don't have one or two guys go there, so sometimes you get rewarded for that too, and create some K's in front of the net. So that's an area we got to be better at.
Well, just putting a puck on the chances are very slim if you just put a puck on net. A lot of times when we do shoot or we look for a play, if it's there, it's you know, we don't get a shot out of it, but it's a high quality look. You know, you look at Orlov's goal, for instance, with Smith-Pelly made that seam pass. I mean, if he doesn't, if it bounces or he doesn't get it on net, it's not even a shot, but it's probably an extremely high quality chance. So depending on how you look at it, that's just. But yeah, there's times when we can shoot some more. There's some times we hold on to the puck a little bit too long, but we got to work for quality. And if we work for quality, we'll get more chances. We got to hit the net more. That'll help the shot total when we do get those chances. I just don't want to throw pucks blind to the net. We want to make sure that we're working for quality. We all have our opinions, and you know what those, everybody has them. So.
Thank you.
That was Brett Connolly and Nicholas Backstrom, plus Trotz explaining more about the philosophy on shots and expressing his frustration with how much he has to address this with the media. Tark, this new philosophy flies in the face of modern analytics and really conventional wisdom, but they continue to score at a pretty good rate. Have they discovered something here?
No.
Are they ahead of the curve?
No.
Or is the offense doomed to regress over time?
I don't think that you can say the offense is doomed to regress, but I think the warning signs and the red flags are there because it has been historically difficult for teams that suppress shots, that don't get a lot of shots, that don't have possession a lot, to eventually see their luck run out.
Right.
And they start hitting more crossbars and posts and mm-hmm. sticks and legs than they are right now. Look, the Capitals have a very, very talented group of forwards that will always help them be in the top upper echelon in terms of team shooting percentage as long as they've got Nicholas Backstrom, Alex Ovechkin, and Evgeny Kuznetsov, even Brett Connolly. As long as you have snipers like that on the ice and playing big roles in your team, you're going to put the puck in the net at a pretty high rate. That said, we've seen in the playoffs that doesn't necessarily translate to the style of play in the postseason. And also, you know, there's evidence right in front of your face that sometimes throwing the puck to the net creates scrambles and other types of goals. You know, Trotz calls them seconds, and we saw that just the other night against Winnipeg. I mean, the Burakovsky's goal was a hard shot by Eller from the high slot that hit the Hellebuck in the chest, and he wasn't able to control the rebound, and it bounced out to Burakovsky, and he buried it.
Mm-hmm.
Backstrom's goal was, who was it, Alex Ovechkin? Did he just kind of like throw it at the net and just hit some things and ended up on a stick and put it in the net?
Alex Ovechkin threw a puck from, he was outside of the circle on the wall, and he just threw it at net.
Just threw it at the net, and it hit a defenseman's leg. I don't remember if it hit the goaltender, but I think it hit something in front.
It hit the defenseman and went right to
Backstrom's leg.
Right.
It threw the timing of the goal of Hellebuck off. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know where it went. I'm not saying that's how you got to live your life, because there are a lot of teams in the NHL this season that throw a lot of garbage on net and aren't very good hockey teams.
Right.
That said, there has to be some sort of a balance, some sort of a compromise between being last in the league in shots by a full shot, being one of two teams in the bottom 10 in shot percentage, shot attempt percentage, and that are still in the playoff hunt right now, and it's the Capitals in Minnesota. It simply does not seem to be a sustainable or very wise way to approach offense.
Yeah, they've got to find this happy medium, because they, as you said, the Winnipeg game is a good example. They're scoring goals from just throwing the puck on net. Now, I understand what Barry Trotz is saying, and I applaud him. You know, a lot of people have been upset with this Capitals team. They said something needs to change, and so he's looking at something different. He is taking a new approach to this that a lot of people, when it comes to the analytics, are dismissing. Everyone's saying shots, and he's saying let's be more selective, because let's not just throw the puck at the net if we know we're not going to score. But then look at a guy like Lars Eller, who's having so much success this season, and watch where he shoots the puck. It's from the high slot. It's usually above the circles. He's just flinging it on net, and he's either scoring or he's getting a deflection or a rebound that's going to somebody else that's turning into a rebound goal. That's where he's finding his success this year. are they going to regress to the means? A lot of the stats say they are. They lead the league in shooting percentage right now at 9.53. Their PDO, which basically measures essentially it's sort of a statistical measurement for how lucky a team is. It measures the goalie percentage and the shooting percentage. They're third in the NHL. So you have to believe it's going to regress at some point. And my fear, Tarek, is that they make the playoffs. They're a top 10 team in offense. And then all of a sudden, because they're getting 28 shots a game, the offense disappears because the defense that they're playing is so good that they're not getting enough possession time and they're not getting enough quality
quality shot attempts. Yeah. And you're playing against better goaltenders because the weak teams have been weeded out. Yes, that is part of the reason why people should be a little bit concerned about that statistic. Now, the 2017 Penguins kind of defied logic, too. Sure. But again, they were built a lot like the Capitals. They have some high-end talent. They got some Ferraris in the garage who don't need 42 shots a game to score three or four goals. So, sure. You know, can they do something similar? I mean, I guess we'll see. But, at this late stage of the season, I don't see how you, like, change your philosophy or change how you've been doing things for the better part of the season at this point.
You got to find that happy medium. You got to realize that sometimes you need to throw the puck on. Sometimes the best option is throwing the puck on net and seeing what happens rather than continually dumping in and hoping that you can beat the players in that race, because so far it's leading the 28 shots on goal. And sometimes when the offense goes dry, it goes really dry. And that is a definite concern. But like I said, I applaud Trotz for trying to think outside of the box a little bit, because he's someone who hasn't gotten the success in the playoffs that you wanted. Something had to change, and so he's trying something new. So I applaud that.
So the Penguins last year in the postseason managed 28.7 shots on goal per game.
Mm-hmm.
That was the lowest of any Stanley Cup champion for 11 years. So, I mean, it can be done.
It can be done.
And you know what? It didn't work the other way. Try it a different way. I don't know.
All right, Tarek, that's enough about the offense. We need to talk about Braden Holtby, and we are going to...
He's got a great beard.
Right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, it seems every time the Caps lose, a vocal segment of the Caps fan base comes out of the woodwork to blame Braden Holtby.
No, you know, that group of fans, they come to your Twitter feed because I don't see them.
Oh, they come hard at me.
I know.
Personally, this seems insane. But there are enough detractors out there that we should address it. One thing I love about having this podcast is that it allows us to have a dialogue with fans rather than just say, well, if you think that, it's because you don't know the game. So let's have a discussion about Holtby.
Okay.
I've listed the most frequent criticisms I hear of Holtby from fans. I'm ignoring the argument some people have that he's just not very good. He won the Vezina 2 years ago, was a finalist last year, and was even selected to Canada's World Cup team, and they don't play around. He's universally accepted by the hockey community as one of the top netminders in the world. So if you just think that he's not good, there's nothing we can do or say that will convince you otherwise. Your mind is made up. So let's look at the other specific criticism that people have for the more rational fans and see if we can break this down a little bit. Number one, Holtby doesn't make the big saves when the team needs them.
Did you watch Winnipeg? I mean, he does make big saves when the team needs them.
You know when I heard this one? I heard this one in the game against Detroit. In the game where he swept the puck off the goal line with his stick, and he was the only person keeping that game tied in the second period.
My theory on people not liking the way, maybe looking like, I've heard people say that the battle level, but Holtby's battle level doesn't seem to be as high. Mm-hmm. No, he's so polished that he doesn't have to flip around like a fish out of water in the crease to make these spectacular saves. He makes them because he's in the right position and he knows he's tracking the puck and he knows where things are going to be.
Right.
So he's always in position. It's like when people see a really smooth athlete on the basketball court or on the football field and they go, oh, he's just dogging it. No, he's not dogging it. He's so freaking smooth. Did you notice he just ran past everyone? He looks like it because he's just smoother than everyone else. I feel like that's sometimes Holtby's technical ability is seen by some as, oh, he just gave up on that puck. No, he's in such good position. He just knew there was no chance of recovering to stop that goal. So he just let it go. I mean, it just went in.
That is a great point. he squares himself to the puck so well that he makes it look almost easy. He's not a controlled chaos guy like Dominik Hájek.
He was, but he's not anymore.
Dominik Hájek can make the easiest save look like the most impossible save in the world. And I'm not detracting from Hájek. That was how he played, and he did it beautifully. That is not the way Holtby plays. So he still makes big saves. If you watch, he makes big saves, but sometimes he makes it look very easy. Moving on. Holtby's numbers are way down this year.
Holtby's quality of defense in front of him is way down this year.
There are two rookies on the blue line. Matt Niskanen is having a down year. I don't know what's going on with Matt Niskanen. He's having a down year. John Carlson is playing great, but Brooks Orpik is essentially being called upon to be a top four defenseman most nights. I mean, if you look at this, the quality of the defense has gone down, certainly. The Capitals are still on. He's still on pace for 40 wins.
He'll still be
a 40 win goalie.
He's going to be the first goaltender to ever win 40 games in four consecutive seasons.
Right.
This season, and so people still think he's not. What are we talking about? Why are we even having this conversation?
I knew you would bring that up at some point. All right, number three, you need a goalie who can steal a playoff series, and hope he can't.
Okay, now we're talking about something, because he has not played his best hockey in the postseason consistently. That Toronto series was not his best series.
Last year was not. He did not play well in the playoffs last year. But if you want a goalie, first of all, when the Capitals are the favorite team, you shouldn't be looking at your goalie to steal a series. Because for years, the Capitals have been the best team. They shouldn't have been looking at Holtby saying, steal this for us. No, you are the best team. You should be winning. And second, Holtby absolutely has stolen the series. His very first series against Boston, they had no business.
No, he
the
did.
Dale Hunter led Caps did. Beating the Stanley Cup champions, they had no business winning that series.
I would say this, though. For Holtby, who I think is a fantastic goaltender and is about to do something that no one in the history of the game has done in terms of wins, for him to cement his legacy as one of the best goaltenders, he's got to get out of the second round.
Sure.
Just like everyone else
in
this
team.
Just like Barry Trotz, just like Alex Ovechkin, just like Nicholas Backstrom. They've all got to get out of the second round. The second round is like sixth grade. You know, at some point, you got to graduate from elementary school and move on. You just got to.
All right, we touched on this a little bit, but number four, Holtby does not play well in the playoffs.
He's going to have an opportunity this year. He's going to have an opportunity this year behind a defense. We don't know what they're going to do at the trade deadline. Behind a defense that's not as good as it was last year. Behind a group of forwards that's not as deep as it was last year. To really show how valuable he is to this franchise.
Right.
Because he's going to face a lot more rubber, and he's going to face it from a lot closer than he has in years past in this postseason. And it's going to be up to him to keep this team moving along.
Tara, can I interest you in a 9.32 save percentage? Because that's what Holtby has in the postseason. And it is the second best save percentage in postseason history. It's better than Patrick Waugh. It's better than Dominik Hájek. It's better than Marty Brodeur. It's better than everybody but Tim Thomas. I mean, to put this team's playoff woes on Braden Holtby is foolish. But I mean, it's one of those things that's so baffling about this team. The quality of goaltending they're getting, and I will admit, last year he did not play well in either series. But the quality of goaltending that this team has gotten in the postseason, plus the amount of production they've gotten from Alex Ovechkin, how does this team not have sustained playoff success? I don't understand it. I don't understand what's holding them back. It's baffling to me. Baffling.
I can't disagree with what you're saying. I mean, it almost defies probability. I mean, I was telling someone this the other day. I said at some point, just based on chance and probability and the fact that this game is played with a hard piece of vulcanized rubber on ice, the Caps are going to meet the Penguins and beat them in a 7-game series. It's probability. It's going to happen. Yeah. You just hope it happens before Alex Ovechkin's, I was going to say gray and old, but he's already gray. But like, before while he's still playing here.
You hope, and you hope that it happens before the NHL inevitably changed their playoff system because it stinks. And so every year they're going to be stuck playing the playoffs and playing the Penguins in the playoffs. And so you hope that at one point they can actually get the win. But I digress.
So, you know, getting back to Holtby in the postseason last year, like you said, I mean, he stole the series against Boston. He's got a great overall postseason save percentage. I'm looking at the save percentages from last year. Twice under 900. against Toronto, four times against against the Penguins.
Yeah,
once under 800.
That is not good.
So
enough.
Yeah, so I'm not saying last year's postseason flameout was his fault, but I think after what happened last year, you might owe him one. it's time good for point. Him to step up and play the way he did the previous spring.
All right, real quick, because we're going a little long here. The Caps re-signed Lars Eller for 5 years, $17.5 million, which carries a cap hit of $3.5 million. Good deal?
I think it's a good deal. That's about the going rate for a quality third line center. I don't think at 28 years old he's the kind of player, and from what I just have seen from him and know of him, he's not going to pack it in. He's not the kind of guy who signs a contract and goes, I'm good now, and starts to coast. He's not going
to
do that.
For a player to sign a player at the exact same cap hit he has now in a career year through his prime years, that's a good deal, people. If you want to have your questions read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it into capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available. And be sure to give us a good rating and review. If you're listening right now and you have not done it, please take the time. Those things really do help. I wouldn't badge you people about it every episode if it didn't matter. So please take the time to do that for us. Dark, I thought this was a good show. You actually brought it today for once. Thank you. And he's looking at his phone, just shaking his head at me. I guess you can only get, 20 quality minutes of Tark on a day, and then that's it.
Right. So.
Thank you, Tark. For Tark, I'm sure this is JJ Regan. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Now let's get the puck out of here.